Tzarim and Aleph. Rashi is on the Mishnah. Misha Hayunosi is a Rashi Yosha Rishaino. So the first scenario is that he dies. So the woman who got married first has first rights. Then it says the Yorshim of the first woman. So when we're talking about Yorshim, he preceded his wife. So the case was in Meso Noshav Acharov. Actually, he's Piko Ligvois. So he died, with both his wives still being alive. And then before they collected, they both died. So the Yorshim of the wife who was married first have first rights of collection before the Yorshim of the second wife. A totally different case is Nosa Rishona Umeso Bechayov. He married one woman. She died in his lifetime. Nosa Shnio Umesu, then he marries his second wife, and then he dies. Now, the truth, it would have been the same thing if he married two women and then one woman dies and then he dies. It doesn't have to be necessarily that the second woman is married after the first woman dies. The point is that the one woman predeceases the husband and the second woman survives the husband. So now, in regards to the Yerusha of the father, so there's two sets of children. Regards to the rights to collect the ksuba, and now the second woman dies after her husband, so we have the yorshim of the first husband, the yorshim of the first wife, and the yorshim of the second wife. So they're coming both as yorshim of the father, both as yorshim of their mothers. Yorshim rishona boyim b'tayim ksubas benin dichrin. So the yorshim of the first woman who died before the husband. So what's their claim as Yerushim of their mother? The mother has no property. The mother has a ksuba, but the ksuba is not chayiv at first glance when she predeceases. But that's not true because there's something called ksuba spinin dichrin, which is that in a scenario where the wife predeceases the husband, so the Yerushim of the husband, their children together, as they're coming to collect their Yerusha from the father, they have a right to first collect the full value of the ksuba of their mother from the father's property. So that the male children, which we have together, so they have the rights of Yerusha on the father, have a right to collect the mother's ksuva outside of the Yerusha, and then the Yerusha is divided equally afterwards. Or they're just coming, the Yerusha are coming to get the rights to the Yerusha of the father, simply that. So the law is, so whether they're coming for ksuvas ben indichrin or for the simple dinim of Yerusha, so shnia v'yorshea kaidmin. So she, or if she dies, her Yerushim have a right to go first. She balaskoy, because she's coming to collecting a debt which is due to her. And the dinas Yerusha, part of the chi of Yerusha is to pay off debts. So they can't say, well, we're Yerushim, that's very nice. Yerushim can now pay the debt. Rishon and Boim, the Irish is of him, they're only coming with the dinim of Yerusha, because even ksuvas ben indichrin is not a chayv. What it is a language of Yerusha. It says inun yarsin tanan. The language that we had before ksuvas ben indichrin is that they will get the husband is promising to his wife that if she predeceases him, their children that they have together will get a Yerusha of the ksuba. First, and then the Yerusha will be then divided afterwards equally, whatever's left over. So since the husband died, the second woman was still alive, so that's a chayv that he owes her the money. So the chayv is paid first, and whatever is remaining, then we'll deal with the lochos of Yerusha. Okay. Zok the Gemara. Midiktoni harishana kademis l'shniya. So in the first case of the Mishnah, the husband dies while being married to two women. So you say that the woman who was married first, her schus of collecting from the property is prior to the second woman's rights. So the language of the Mishnah is kademis. So the more says Miktani Harishana Kademis Lishniya, Miktani Harishana Yeshla Vishniya Ain Law, a Michlau di Kadma Shniya Vitovsa Lumafkinamino. The language of it goes first sounds like the second individual has rights, the second woman has rights, but the first woman's rights go first. But that indicates that had the second woman actually taken possession, she's collecting a chayv that's due to her. So we have no power to take that away from her. If you go through process in bed, then we're going to give it to the first woman. The second woman took it without process. She's taking something which is rightfully hers, and we can't take it away from her. So Shema Minoah, the Mor says, Bal chayv mu'ucher shekodem begova mashagova gova. We could derive from here a rule that if you have a two bali chayv, an earlier one and a later one, so the first one has the first lien on the property. The second one's shibud is a valid shibud. If the second one took possession of the property, it works. Mor says, no, you can't prove that. I will tell you that the second person takes possession, it doesn't work. Well, my kademis, the language of kademis, which you are inferring from that language that it means the second one also has rights. No, we find the usage in Chazal that the word kademis means legamri, means totally. The first one is before the second one totally, which means the second one has no rights at all. For example, Kiditnan, in the Mishnah Bava Basra, where it talks about the lochos of Yerusha, says, Ben Kerem Labas. The son goes before a daughter. Now, in the case of Yerusha, when there's sons, the daughter has no rights at all. So the language of Kedem over there doesn't mean the son goes first and the daughter gets second. It doesn't mean the daughter has any right. The daughter has no rights at all. In that scenario, if the daughter would take possession, we would take it away from her. So we see the language of Kedem used by Chazal doesn't mean the second person has rights. Okay. The Mor says that's one version of the conversation. The Mor says Yikuda Amri. There's a second version of the conversation which went the other direction. It says Midalok Tani Im Kad Mashniya B'Tafsa Ein Metzin Miyado Michlal De Ikad Mashniya B'Tafsa Mafkinen Mino. The Mor is being medayik according to in this version of the conversation. That the Mishnah says the first woman goes first. The Mishnah does not discuss what happens if the second woman takes possession. Okay. So we see that Mishnah Minoah, Michal di bot kal mishniya v'tafsa mafkina minoah. The Mishnah does not discuss the rights of the second woman. It sounds like she has no rights at all. So Shema Minoah, bal chayv mu'ucher shekodem begova mashagova loy gova. If the second Baal Chayv takes possession, not as Bezdin would tell them to do, it doesn't work. No, I can't prove that. Mashagava Gabi, that the second woman takes possession, it does work. So then the question is, if that's true, why is it not discuss the rights of the second woman at all? But I need the Tana Shnia B'Yarshah Kaidman B'Yarshah Rishonah. Since in the Seifa, there it says the second woman who's collecting as a Baal Eschayv has rights over the Yerushim of the first woman, who they're coming as Yerushim, and over there, you cannot discuss the idea of the Yerushim of the first one going and taking possession. That those words are totally impossible to discuss, because the second one was coming as a Baal Tzchayv, the first one was coming as Yerushim. They have possession, but they have a chiv to pay. So although they took possession of the property, good. So now you're by Yerushim, go pay. So over there, it's impossible to discuss the language of Im Kadma. Batavsa, therefore the Reish also did not discuss over there. It's impossible. I didn't tell you Shnei in the Seifa, therefore, in the, which means i.e. we didn't discuss what happens if they're a Kadam. Therefore, in the Reish also Tani Amir Yishana Kedemis Lishnia doesn't discuss the second half of the equation, because it's impossible in the even the Reish. It's possible, but since in the Seifa it's not possible, we didn't discuss it. Sakrashi. Midiktani, so in the first version it says Lishna, it uses the Lashon the Kedemis, Loktani, Shnia Einlo, it doesn't say that the second one has no rights at all. The Eloi, my Nafkamina the Kedemis, if there's enough to pay for both, so what's the point of the Mishnah? So the point of the Mishnah, there's not enough to pay for the both. So it comes out that the Rishonah gets, the second one doesn't get. You know, even though there's some amount, but the point is the second one, they don't divide it equally. The first one gets her full ksuba, and the second one doesn't get the full ksuba. So that would have been the correct lashon. So it's lashon of kedemis, shmaminoa, kedemis, the chatchila. Abim kad mishniya, but tov, so lemav kedemino. It sounds like it's just a question of who's supposed to go first, but if they don't, it works. Morris says no. The language of kedem means the gamri. Shein lashniya klum. The Lashon Kedem can mean that the first one has totally, the second one has no rights at all. Over there, by Ben Kedem Labas, it means totally. The second version, the more is being Medayik, I did the boy the Mishni Sefer. It's Medayik from the fact that it doesn't discuss what happens if the second one takes advantage of the situation and grabs first. The Gemara says, no, I didn't board the Mishni Sefer, Shnei of Yershek, wants to say Shnei of Yershek, or Kaidman, Lishon the Kaidman, Lashayach, the Mishni bought Im Kadam of Atavsu, if the Yershim of the first one will take possession first, Emetziyam Yadim, you can't discuss it over there, the Havari Metziyan, over there, you would take it away from them, Im Tavsu, Metziku Bekarka, Don Nitsa, Ishtar, but the Star, the Balchayv. They, as Yerushim, took possession of the father's property, and now they have to pay the father's debt. So, over there, taking possession is irrelevant. So you can't discuss over there the idea of possession in the Reisha. Therefore, in the Seifa also, it just says Lashon HaKadmon, Tani Nami Reisha. In the Seifa, you can't discuss it. In the Reisha also, Lishon HaKadmon Kedemes Uliktani Im Kadmon V'Tavsa Ein Matzir. Okay. Fine. So the Mishnah said, in a case where he marries two wives, the first wife predeceases, the second one does not. So the second one is collecting as a ksuva, and as a chayv, and the first one is collecting it through Yerusha. And the word says, Nosas Rishonah B'chul, Shomim Notlas. So we can derive from this Mishnah three things. The first thing is Achas B'chayiv, Achas B'moisoy. The scenario that one dies B'chayiv, but one dies after the husband dies. So now there's Yarshim. It's all Yarshim, and these Yarshim are Yarshim of the father of the husband. They're also Yarshim of their mothers. One is coming to collect through Yerusha and Ksuba's bin Indikra. One is coming to collect based on an actual key of Ksuba, which was due to the mother, the second one. Were Chazal Masak and Ksuba's bin Indikra in this scenario? Or maybe Ksuba's bin Indikra only is valid in a case where both women predecease. in the case where there's only one wife, Ksuvas B'Nichrin is irrelevant. They're the Yerushim, and that's it. So the whole issue of Ksuvas B'Nichrin is only relevant in the case of the two wives. And one wife gets a larger Ksuva. And part of the Tekana of Chazal was that we're telling the woman that even if you predecease, your children, which we have, will get the rights to collect the larger Ksuva that I gave you outside of the Yerusha or before the Yerusha. So you're guaranteed this Ksuva to some extent, even in the case of where the woman predeceases. Okay. Maybe that's only true. It was put into place in a case where both women predecease, and all we're dealing with is a case of Yerusha, and we're saying in that situation, there's a din of Yerusha, you know what, we're going to give the one who wears a larger ksuva, they take their rights before the Yerusha. The other one takes their ksuva, which is the smaller one before the Yerusha, and then the remainder is divided equally. But a case where one woman is collecting as a bona fide ksuva, her yerushim are collecting as a bona fide ksuva, because I were a masakin, ksuva's been different over that situation. They get their ksuva. And the remainder is divided equally as yerushim between the two sets of children. So we're saying, no, we see from our Mishnah that achas b'chayv, achas b'moisoy, yesh lan ksuva's been different. V'lochashinan le'in suyeb. We're not worried that so it comes out that we could have argued that Ksuvas B'Nichrin potentially has an element of argument of disagreement in it. They're getting a larger ksuva, they're getting a smaller ksuva. But in a scenario where everybody's coming as Yerusha, so we say, you know what, listen gentlemen over here, you're coming as the Yerushim of the father, but you're also Yerushim of your mother's, and she had a right to a larger amount, and you have a right to a smaller amount. Fine. So you're all coming, but Beikir, this is how Chazal set up the Yerushim of the father's property. But in this scenario, we could have argued that the Yerushim of the second woman say, we're not coming as with the rights of Yerusha of our father at all when we collect the ksuva. We don't need the rights of Yerusha of the father at all to collect the ksuva. Even if we would be children from a different husband, we have a right to be Yerusha, our mother's ksuva, because we're the Yerusha of her chayv. We're collecting the chayv. So we're acting right now not as Yerusha, as Balei Chayv. It's irrelevant whether we're Yerusha of the father or not. Okay. Now, let's come to Yerusha. What are ksuvas? What right do you have a ksuva? We're all Yerushim, and let's divide the Yerusha. As it were, we could have been concerned that the Yerushim of the second one said, listen, one second. The collection of the ksuva which we had has nothing to do with all of the Yerusha. That's totally outside of the Yerusha. That's we're Balei Chayv, irrelevant whether we're the Yerushim of the father. And now, we're coming as Yerushim, and you're getting an extra portion. Because you're getting your the ksuba of your mother before we divide the Yerusha. What right do you have to that? That's what we could have argued. So they're going to play the game on both sides to some extent. So we could have been concerned about such an argument. And we're saying, no, we're not worried about that argument. And we say, well, yes, we're going to give the Yerushim of the woman who died first before the husband died, they're going to get ksuvas b'nichrin, and then the remaining amount of the money will be divided equally between the two yerushim. And there's no collection as part of the yerusha of the second ksuva, because that was collected supra of the yerusha. Okay, that's the first point that we see from the Mishnah. Okay. The Gemara says, where do you see that in the Mishnah? Okay, so you're telling me this is your conclusion. You're telling me what is the concern. Tell me why we're not concerned about it. Where do you see that in the Mishnah? The Mishnah doesn't discuss that what you're saying, not directly. Mimai, where do you see that in the Mishnah? Amir Ketani. It says, Shnia v'yershel koidmin l'yershel rishona. So again, the language is the second one and her Yerushim go before the yarshim of the first one. Now, if the yarshim, if there's no ksubas being dichrin in that scenario, so it's not a question of kaidman. Well, all you're saying is that the woman collects her ksuba and the remainder is divided equally. So where's there's no kadim over there? We're not discussing going before. Miktim hu dekadmi ha'ika shakli. So we're saying the woman, the second woman's yarshim, who is collecting as a chayv, that goes first. But we're not saying that it's an area where there's money left over to create tzivus bin dichrin. We're not going to collect tzivus bin dichrin. We're saying that you do collect tzivus bin dichrin. Just in a question of in order of rights, Baal Dechayiv's rights go first, and then the tzivus bin dichrin goes second. But if there's no tzivus bin dichrin in that scenario, it's not a question of first and second. It's a question of she has rights and they have no rights at all. So from that language indicates there is tzivus bin dichrin in that scenario. Good so far? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. What? Good. Okay. Now, the second Shomei Noah, we have to put in a put in a point of information over here. Chazal, so a bona fide case of tzivus bin dichrin, not our Mishnah. Both women die before the husband dies, and they're coming to divide the Yerusha. So let's go back to a scenario which we discussed yesterday. So the ksuva, the ikar and the tesefis of the first woman is 1,000. The ikar and the tesefis of the second woman is 500. So the total amount of the ksuvas is worth 1,500. The husband dies and he has 1,500 zoos worth of property. So over there, there's no din ksuvas in the dichrin. Because if you're going to do that, they're going to get 1,000, they're going to get 500, and the Yerusha of the Torah, which the Torah said divided equally amongst the brothers, is never going to happen. So Chazal only said it if there's something called Moiser. There's after the ksubas are paid, there's something left over, which we divided as with the regular rules of Yerusha, equally between the brothers. Okay, so that's a din of Moiser. So what about in our Mishnah? So in our Mishnah, in a certain sense, there's moiser happening over here, not in the context of the dividing a Yerusha, but in the context of paying the chayv. Right? So the husband dies. Same. Let's make the scenario the same. Right? That the one woman has a ksuba of 1,000. One woman has a ksuba of 500, and the husband leaves over exactly 1,500 worth of property. Right? So, what's supposed to happen? So the woman who predeceases, her ksuba is 1,000. The woman who survives, her ksuba is 500. So you say, I'm sorry. In this scenario, they'll collect 500, because that's a chayv. And the remaining 1,000, you divide equally. Because you can't do ksuba in this one, there's nothing left over. That's not true, because the payment of the 500 is a form of Yerusha. The Yarshim of the husbands, which is the children of both women, have a chayv to pay, which happens to be to the Yarshim one of them. It happens to be to some of them, but as Yarshim, they're paying their father's chayv. So first thing which happens is they Yarshim all the property. They go and pay the chayv of 500 of the ksuva to the as Yarshim of the father. They pay the chayv to the Yarshim of the second woman. And now the Yerusha has been effective, and now the remaining 1,000 goes to the survivors of the Yarshim of the first woman who predeceased. So Shmami knows that the Gemara Ksuva Nas is Moisir Lechaverta, that the Ksuva which is being paid as a Chayv acts as Moisir, and therefore the other ksuba will be collected as ksubas bin dichrin, even though there's nothing else to divide as Yerusha other than the two ksubas. Where do you see that? Okay, fine. So that's the halacha. Where do you see that in the Mishnah? Umimai. Where do you see that? I mean, look, Tani, im yei sham moisir dinner, and the Mishnah does not mention a need for a moisir dinner. We were redaik already from the first point of the Mishnah that there is ksuba in the scenario, which means we'll pay the chayv and then the other property will go to Ksubas Bin Indifferent, could use Lashon of Kedemis. It doesn't say Kedemis only in the scenario of Moshe Dinner. We didn't say that you need to leave over. So the payment of, in our scenario which we gave, there has to be a Yerusha of 1,501 Zuz. Then we pay the 500 of the second ksuba as the chayv. We pay the 1,000 of the ksuba zinichrin for the yarshim of the first woman, and the remaining dinner they divide equally through Yerusha. We don't say that. Doesn't mention the Mishnah that you need a meiser dinner. So shmaminah that the payment of the ksuba acts as the meiser. Okay. The third shmaminah is Ksubas Yindichrin Loi Tarfim Mishabdi, that the rights of Ksubas Yindichrin, the woman when she gets her Ksuba gets a shibud on the husband's property. Means if later on, for whatever reason, the husband sells the property, the husband borrows money, and the Baal Chayv collects the property. When the time for the ksuba to be paid, the ksuba is to be paid, in a scenario where the husband dies, the husband divorces her, she goes to. So, let's give a scenario. Reuben marries Leah in 1970. So, all of his property, she gets a sheep with all of his property. In 1975, he borrows money. Right? And he owes the money, fine. The Baal Chayv comes and collects from the property. She says, that's very nice. But now he divorces her 5 years later. She says, she goes to Baal Chayv and says, my schus on the property was first. She says, very nice, you let the money, you collected the property, but my shibud on the property was there first. Now that Chayv, which was due to her, Ksuba is a fascinating, there's two stages of the Chayv Ksuba. Right, the first stage of the Chiyuv Ksuba is at the moment of the Nesuin, or Erisin and Nesuin, whatever you hold, there's a Chiyuv Ksuba, Iker, Bashas, the Erisin, and the Tosef is Bashas, Nesuin. And she has a Shibud all the property. There's a Tanai that doesn't kick in until the divorce, until the husband dies. But when that happens, the Shibud is first, and she says, the same way, if Reuven had borrowed money in 1970, and has a shibud all the property in 1970, and then borrows money again in 1975. We say to the second fellow who lent the money, he said, it's very nice, but you, the person who lent the money earlier, has first rights to collect. So even if you collect first, but the property below, eventually, when the second one comes to collect, the first one comes to collect the chayv, the earlier chayv, he goes to the second person and says, listen, you should have been careful to only lend money when there's the extra property. This property belongs to me, and I have the first shibud. We take it away from the person of the second chayv. So what happens by case of, so that's the, when she's collecting a ksuva as a bona fide ksuva? What about ksuva's been indifferent? So. Again, not our case of the Mishnah yet. Just a simple case of Ksuba's being different. Reuven marries two women, one in 1970, one in 1975. So there's Ksuba's being different from the first woman, Ksuba's being different from the second woman. Both of them die in 1980. Right? And then he dies later. Meanwhile, he's borrowed money and he paid back the chayv. Okay, so now he dies in 1970, first marriage, 1975, the second marriage, he takes a loan in 1980, and then he dies in 1985. Meanwhile, he borrowed the money, he paid the money back. So now it's 1985, there's the children of the first woman, the children of the second woman, saying, listen, we have a right to get cut their mother's ksuba, and it was a shibud. So they go to the fellow who lent the father money, and collected from the father, and said, listen, our shibudim are first. No, that's not true. The Ksuba Nichron's right is whatever property the there's a din of Yerusha on, and the time the husband dies, whatever property there's a din of Yerusha, the way they deal with Yerusha is they get their mother's Ksuba as part of the Yerusha, they get their mother's Ksuba as part of the Yerusha, and they divide the remaining Yerusha. But anything which is not there at the time of death, that's been sent away already, As a chayiv, there's no din of Yerusha on it. There's no din of Ksubas bin Dikran on it. Okay? That's the Shemina Aminu. How do you see that over here? So Shemina Ksubas bin Dikran, Lord Tarfim and Mishabdi. Ksubas bin Dikran does not give you a right to collect from anything which has now already went into the state of Shibud. Why? If you're going to think that Ksubas Nichon does collect from Meshabdi, so in our scenario, the Yerushim of the second woman are collecting a choiv, that's a case of Meshabadim. And now Ksubas Nichon of the first wife has the right to say, okay, so we're saying that in the case where there's not enough that the Shvik Subas bin Dichrin for the first one, the second one goes first. Okay, very nice. So the second one goes first and collects the Suva as a chayv. Now the first one comes and says, listen, but we have a Ksuba which is a dinner collected from Mishabadim. They go and collect the Ksuba back from the second one, the Yarshim of the second woman, and then let's get our Ksuba's in Dichrin. Right? So that's what should happen. These hold to Tarfim and Mishabdi, Lesu B'nei Rishonah, while the Tarfino leave Nei Shnia. Okay. So the Mishnah says, you see from this Mishnah three things. Let's see Rashi. Before the more challenges these rayas and these shmaminos, let's see the Rashi when we still believe that everything makes sense. Okay. Shmaminos, top Rashi, top line. Shmaminos, achas b'chay b'achas b'moysa yesh lehen the rishonim k'suvas v'ni nichrin. In our scenario, where one woman dies in the husband's lifetime, and one woman dies after the husband's lifetime, and now both women's children are coming as Yerusha, but one of them, the husband died, the second one, the husband died when she was alive, so he owes her the ksuva as a chayv. So in that scenario, there is ksuvas, the yeshlam, the rishonim, ksuvas bin dikrin. Well, meaning, no, we don't say. Ki tikkun rabbo, when the Chazal institutes b'din dichrin, this the din of ksuvas b'din dichrin, heichad the meisur shteyin b'chayiv. So in a case where both women die before the husband dies, ksuvas so'achas merubah mishal chaverta, and one woman's ksuvas is greater than the others. Each one gets their mother's ksuva. And the remaining property is divided amongst the yarshim of the father equally. In that scenario, both are approaching this through the rules of Benin Dichrin, Shuhu Yerusha Zoav, which is part of Yerusha Zoav. So there's not going to be any disagreement about that. You know, that's the reality. They're both Yerushim. They both have a right to Yerusha. Both sets of sons. They both have the one mother's ksuba was larger than the other. That's a reality. So what's there to fight about? Avol, we could have argued, achas b'chayv, achas b'moysay. One woman dies in the husband's lifetime, and one woman dies after the husband dies. The Yerusha Shniya boil aksubas iman b'teres Yerusha schoiv iman v'loy me'aviyem bo'lehem. The Yerushim of the second woman, they're not coming to get the ksuba through Yerusha of the father, because even if they would not be the children of the father at all, if they're born from a different father, They're Yerush, their mother's chayv, and they're collecting their mother's chayv. So this collection has nothing to do with Yerusha. So now they collect the chayv, and now we're left with the Yerusha to be divided between two brothers, two sets of brothers. And one wants the brothers, we want to get our mother's ksuba first. So the other one says, we don't have any ksuba from our mother, because they collected that outside of the Yerusha. So that means they're going to get, and they're not going to get. They're going to try and get an extra portion of Yerusha, which the second one they have no way to collect now. So, and like we pointed out, that when they collect, so it was in Nikkurin, it's through it's a form of Yerusha. It's not a chayv, a collection of a chayv. So we should argue, lo shakli, that the benin dichrin of the first woman shouldn't get benin dichrin. The children should not get benin dichrin. Because them also and suya velomer lo titlo be yerushas avino yosim imenu. That why should you get more of the father's yerusha than us? Again, their argument is that the second one's argument is that the ksuba, which we cut to our mother, is irrelevant. Because that's a chayv, which is owed to our mother, nothing to do with the Yerusha. Now there are any Yerusha, we should divide equally. Why are you getting more of the Yerusha? That's what we should have argued that this should happen. So Chazal said, hold on, we don't say that. We allow the first one to get part of the Yerusha. We allow the first ones to get part of the Yerusha extra through Benin Dichrin, because the second one's the Maisa Kana Ksuva. I mean, yes, technically they're getting more Yerusha, and they're not getting more Yerusha, but in a practically they're collecting the Ksuvas. So that you can't say there's going to be an argument over there. Okay, that's the first Shmamino. Second Shmamino, Ksuva Nasa Moshe Lechaberta. Only is valid in a case where after the collection of the Benin Dichrin, there's still going to be also property divided through Yerusha. And how much? A dinner. And the more we discuss whether dinner is dafka or not. You need there's even less than a dinner. We don't want to totally uproot the regular rules of Yerusha Deraisa, which is divided equally. Because it's not a pirkan like the more we'll say later on. Prashin and time of Perik Narshani sponsor. And the more explains why that they did that more before. Fine. Seeing though that rule is true, so Lachar in our Mishnah, we should add in a caveat. That which you're being medayik, that the first woman's yarshim also gets simin dichrin, we should add in the Mishnah if there's a moisa dinner. No, we don't need to say that. Hani milikimeser shtein b'chayiv. That's true when both women died in the husband's lifetime. The tabayah also b'taras benin dichrin. So both sets of yarshim of the both women are coming as benin dichrin. You say, one second, you cannot collect benin dichrin unless there's a moisa dinner. But in our scenario over here, where one woman died b'chaye habal, one woman died afterwards. So the collection of the second ksuba is not coming through Yerusha. It's coming as a chayv. So then, so the Yerusha of the father was fulfilled in that moment. So we're not uprooting Nachal Deraisa. The property went to his Yarshim, which is the children for both wives. And now somebody's coming to collect the shtar chayv on the father. So both sets of children are paying their father's chayv with the property they got by Yerusha. So they're getting the Yerusha and they're using it to do the chiv to pay the father's chayv. So we fulfilled Yerusha. He Yerusha, and that's their Yerusha. Now it happens to be that they're paying it to them. One set is paying it to themselves. Okay, no. But the Yerusha, the Raisa, has been fulfilled by both sets of children paying off the father's chayv to one set of children. The fika ksuba zu now says can moisture the Yerusha. So that acts as the moisture. But garbin b'nei rishon ksuba is indifferent, and therefore, even if there's only the exact amount of money to pay the two ksubas, they'll pay the chayv to the second one as a chayv. They'll fulfill Yerusha through that, and then the yarshim of the first woman will collect the remaining amount totally as it was indifferent. One more Rashi. We should understand that that Yisun Tanan, not a lashon of Yersun, it's not a Yerusha Dikadin. It's a din of Yerusha Dikadin, so then obviously you don't collect from Mashiach, whatever. It's only Yerusha, only what's there at the time of death. But if you use a lashon not of Yersun, the lashon of Yisun, that they should sit in your place, which means they're taking over the chayv of the mother. Oh, they're taking over the chayv of the mother. The chayv of the mother was before a later debt. Ubal chayv havu, therefore the coming is bali chayv. V'shibudim kaidim, therefore their shibud is an earlier shibud. V'yatar from imenei hashniya, shen bali chayvis mucharit. So therefore they would collect from any property collected by the yarshim of the second woman, because that's a later chayv. That's not true. El yarshin hein. The year since the law works as Yerusha Dikadin. Therefore, Vologabim Mashadi can't collect from any property which is not there at the time of death. They have no rights to. So, the Chayiv of the second one, which is collecting as a Chayiv, that's collected, and the remaining amount is divided as Yerusha.